How was the Super Bowl for you? I mean, it was a great watch over here watching, but what was it like for you?
It was a great experience. However, as a San Francisco 49ers fan of 30 plus years, it was also heartbreaking to see your team go ahead twice in the fourth quarter and then again in overtime, only to see them lose. So that was a little bit upsetting. But overall, the experience, I mean, there's nothing like it. I've been to many sporting events, and the Super Bowl is like no other.
Yeah, just this huge, absolute spectacle. I thought Usher was decent at halftime as well.
Yeah, he was good. He put on a good show. Alicia Keys, very good. I liked the big flowing dress that she wore as she appeared. It was all very good. We had our lanyards that lit up. I'm sure you saw those flashing on the screen as you're watching at home. So,
yeah.
Yes, it was great. A very, very good. You know, funny story, actually, beforehand, I was doing a report from outside the stadium. I was on Taylor Swift watch. And whilst I was doing a level check, I was stood next to this guy. So, you know, you're doing a little bit back to the base and you're talking into the microphone. So they can check that your levels are okay. So I'm doing a little scene set. I'm like, yeah, I'm stood next to me as a... is a guy who's got a lot of tattoos on. And then before the start of the game where they have the national anthem, it was Post Malone. Never seen the guy before, heard his name, stood next to Post Malone. So to me, he's some guy with some tattoos.
I love it. Yeah, you never know who you might bump into, eh? I suppose. Yeah. So where did your love of American football begin then, Anthony?
Well, this is a dinner party question. Guess the accent. And yeah, I grew up in Winnipeg in Canada. I was born in England, but we emigrated out there as a toddler when I moved out. And growing up in Winnipeg, I fell in love with the sport, the Canadian version of the sport, and playing what's called Pop Warner football, so a child entry level to American football. It was still full on tackling back then. I don't know if it is now with the concussion protocols, but at a young age, loved playing the sport, and this is how I became a San Francisco 49ers fan. They were the dominant team at that period with the Joe Montana, I'm sure everybody's heard of his name, and Jerry Rice. So they caught my eye, and I just fell in love with the game. But before that, before I started playing it, it was sitting in the stands with my dad those long summer nights in Canada watching a team called the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. They're a team that appear quite prominently in my book, and just fell in love. I think it was the uniforms more than anything. And then as you grow to understand the rules of the game, you can see this living chessboard really on the gridiron. That's what the field's called. You see it unfold, and it's just a fascinating sport. So it's a love affair that's 30 plus years old now.
And your new book, Anthony Wootton, takes us back to the Second World War, where we, of course, are reminded that so many American and Canadian soldiers were based over here. And in fact, we learn a lot of the Canadians were based near the Surrey border, Aldershot kind of way.
That's correct, yeah. And that's because, and it was similar to the First World War as well, because a lot of the first troops to head out from England were at Aldershot. So those barracks were vacant. So they were there for the Canadians. The Canadians, of course, came over long before the Americans because they declared war on Germany in 1939 to serve their king. So from 1940, lots of the Canadians, most of them came through Aldershot, actually, as they landed on the shores of England. So a lot of them were based there at the barracks. So there is a strong connection between the Canadian and the American forces. So I've been to the museum there at Aldershot, and in the museum you can see the pictures, the photographs of the first Canadians coming through in those early years of the war. And just to see the barracks, you can just picture the thousands upon thousands of Canadians that took over this small town, essentially. Fascinating.
We then, in your book, The Greatest American Football Story That's Never Been Told, which is out now, by the way, find out about a couple of games between Canada and the USA that were played at White City Stadium. The first of which, I love this, was called the Tea Bowl.
That's right. That's right. Yes. I mean, I wonder how they came up with the name for the tea bowl and the rematch being the coffee bowl. But yeah, it was all thanks to a chance encounter. A guy, Dennis Whitaker, who actually was based in Aldershot. He served in Dieppe. He was the highest ranking officer to come out of Dieppe unscathed. Now, Dieppe is the worst day in Canadian military history. Thousands of casualties, Canadian casualties on the beaches there at Dieppe. And he came away unscathed. He gave his what for to Mountbatten and Churchill when he was asked to give a debrief. He didn't hold back when giving his verdict and thoughts on that infamous day. He'd seen so many colleagues, men, and he was only 28 himself by the time he had this chance encounter in a pub in London in 1943, Christmas time, 1943. So training had begun for Operation Overlord. And we know that you're going to hear that name a lot this year because on the 6th of June is the 80th anniversary of D-Day. So the Canadians and the Americans, a lot of the Americans had come over and they hadn't seen action and they were training. This boredom was a common word that was used because they were hungry for action. It was cold, wet, damp winter that winter. And Dennis Whittaker, after he'd been granted a weekend's leave. So he went into London and he sat himself in a pub, as you do. And he got talking to an American lieutenant. And this American said, "I've got enough football equipment to field six teams." And that sparked an idea with Dennis Whittaker, this Canadian major. So he went to the powers that be and he said, "Hey, why don't we have a football game, an American or Canadian football game? It'll be great for the morale of the troops." The powers that be loved this idea. So they were granted 6 weeks leave, 6 weeks from training to play the sport that they loved. And there were lots of professional Canadian professional football players over here. So he assembled, there's almost Avengers Assemble, this all-star cast and a lot of all pros from the Canadian Football League, which is known as the CFL. Obviously their neighbors to the south, it's the NFL, but the Canadians put together this incredible cast of players and they did one over their American cousins in this game, the T-Bowl. So it was played at White City Stadium in front of 30,000 fans, Spitfires flying overhead on the lookout for the German Luftwaffe. British fans in the crowds were given programs explaining the rules. Huh. The BBC provided the broadcast, the network for the American forces for commentary on the game. And the Canadians won. There was one half American rules, one half Canadian rules. And the Canadians won and the Americans hated it.
And that's why there was a rematch.
That's why there was a rematch in front of 50,000 spectators. And the Americans, you know what they did? They drafted in ringers from the NFL. So there was one quarterback from the Philadelphia Eagles, a guy called Tommy Thompson. He won the first ever NFL championship for the Philadelphia Eagles in 1948 and backed it up in 1949. He came over and almost single-handedly beat the Canadians in the rematch, 18-0 again at White City Stadium. But decades before, we had these NFL London games. We had these games in London. NFL teams were over here. And Tommy Thompson, by the way, played blind in one eye.
Oh, wow. Okay, fantastic. Honestly, this you get a real sort of insight into the way that American football, you know, slowly grew in this country pretty much after the events that you've been talking about there. And in fact, one of the chapters I like is on the formation of the Farnham Knights after the sort of a couple of lads who watched American football on the telly in the 80s.
That's one of my favorite chapters that I've written in the book. And that was the genesis for the story, you know. I'd spoken to Steve Raines, who features in the book, on my podcast a few years ago. And as you do, you ask people how they got into American football. And he told me about how he used to travel to Greenham Air Base, just over in West Berkshire there, which was a U.S. Air Force base throughout the Cold War. They had the nuclear silos there. And they would go on the base, and he would say that the cars would drive on the other side of the road, and you could only pay in dollars, and they used to watch American football from the bleachers. And that was the birth of the Farnham Knights. And then he put me in touch with the two founding members of the Farnham Knights, a couple of local lads, one of whom had seen a uniform on the high street there in Farnham in the shop window. And he thought, I fancy giving this a go, because he'd been watching it on Channel 4 back in the 80s. It was a real cult following American football over here. I was living in Canada at the time, but the stories that you hear, this cult impact that Channel 4 and the NFL had during that period. And they thought, okay, yeah, we'd like to learn how to play. How do we learn how to play? Oh, we need to find an American. And then a friend of theirs said, one of my neighbors is an American. It turns out he was a security officer at Greenham Air Base. So he was dealing with the likes of Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher back in the day. They knock on his door, these couple of short British Surrey lads. He opens the door. He's about 6'5". He's on the step as well, looks down at them. He's thinking, are you serious? And he He committed to a couple of weeks just to help them and help them establish a team. And then a few years later, he was still the coach of the Farnhamites. A great story, you know, on one of the early teams of the British Amateur American Football League as well. So the Farnhamites, Farnham has a really strong connection and a really good connection with American football in this country.
I love that chapter as well, because you go into the detail of what's kind of what else has happened on that site, and it's where they filmed some of Star Wars.
So the Millennium Falcon was there.
I love it. Well, look, Anton, I could chat to you all day, but look, thank you for sort of sharing some of those stories of how American football slowly but surely conquered our part of the world. And we can read those stories in more detail in the book, The Greatest American Football Story That's Never Been Told, by Anthony Wooden, which is out now. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.